what about Egon and Jesus is? What about Egon and Jesus is? Heaven and earth adoring him, his people bow before him. What a mighty God, and Jesus is risen again.
What a mighty God, Jesus is.
Somebody say amen if you believe it.
Amen.
Somebody say praise the Lord.
Amen.
Now give Jesus one more big old hand clap of praise if you love him this morning. Hallelujah. Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord this morning? How many of you enjoyed service here last night? I tell you what, it was wonderful. The word of the Lord is just so, it's just so encouraging, Brother Terry. It encourages that we can, if we desire help, there's help for us. If we desire encouragement, that's there for us. God's going to fix it till we get out of here. I believe that, don't you? Whatever's wrong in your life, it's repairable by the hand of Almighty God. Turn around, shake somebody's hand, give them a nice smile. Tell them you're glad to see them in the house of the Lord this morning. Praise the Lord. Brad, God bless you. Good to see you, partner. Hey, Brother Daniel, good to see you. God bless you, Brother Cook. Good to see you, buddy. Brother Reese, good to see you. God bless you. God bless you. Y'all tired of shaking hands this quick? You had a humbug year, some of you, didn't you? You still pouting at church. Amen. Well, you know what? We're getting close to the end of 2013. This year has been a wonderful year here at Happy Valley Church of Jesus Christ. It's not been without a lot of things happened, but God has seen us through it every bit of it. And He's kept us together as a church family. He's blessed us with a tremendous ministry, a wonderful pastor, and a wonderful family to lead us and to guide us. And by the grace of God and by the power of the Holy Ghost, we have almost completed another year. And I don't know what 2014 holds for you or holds for me, but I do know this. We know who holds 2014. And whatever happens, we're going to get through it by the grace of God. Do you believe that with all your heart? I've got one thing I'd like to say to the Lord today. This year, you know, as I age, I see my frailty more and more all the time, and I'm sure if you're honest in your heart, you do too. As you get older, you see just how really frail, and you young people don't see that yet, but stay tuned, it's coming. If you live long enough and time stands. But I realize that, I was just reading the book of Job, and most time when I'm reading the Bible, most of those Old Testament chapters, who begat, I don't pay a whole lot of attention to that. But I just started reading in the book of Job, and of course, you know, Job was a wealthy, righteous man. And Satan desired somebody to put a cuss on. And the Lord asked him, said, "Have you considered my servant Job?" And we know the story of the book of Job. We're not going to take the time to go all into all that. But we know the story, his trials, all that he lost. And in the meantime, his friends come to him, and they was Job's comforters. And they didn't offer a whole lot of comfort. And then Job, began to curse the day that he was born. Why this and why that? But the final chapter or two of Job offers the greatest encouragement. And it helped me so much to see that we can complain till the cows come home. We can complain that we turn blue in the face. But finally God's going to say, "Why don't you just stand up and act like a man? Why don't you just get off of your pity party? Stand up. Where was you when I done all of this? Where was you at when I formed this world? Who saved you and gives you the Holy Ghost? Stand up and act like a man. Stand up and act like a woman." Amen. I began to read that final chapter and I said, "Lord God, I have been such a disappointment to you this year. I pitied myself and I felt sorry and I whimpered around. And I just want to ask the Lord this morning, please forgive me. May I, in 2014, and you with us all together under the leadership of the Holy Ghost and our precious pastor, may we be standing post in this church that people come in and they see somebody that's rooted and grounded in a truth that's unmovable, that's undeniable. We couldn't get away from it if we wanted to, because God has started this work in you and me, and He's big enough to finish it." Give Him one more hand clap of praise if you love Him. Singer, buddy. Please forgive me. Please forgive me. I need Your grace to make it through. All I have is You. I'm at Your mercy. Lord, I'll serve You till my dying day. Help others find the way at Your mercy. Please forgive me. My sleep is gone. My heart is full of sorrow. Oh, sing it to Him, church. I can't believe how much I've let You down. I dread the pain that waits for me tomorrow. When the sun reveals my broken dreams scattered on the ground. Oh, please forgive me. I need Your grace to make it through. All I have is You. I'm at Your mercy.
the time to care for one like me.
I like this part.
Oh, but I read in the Bible that old story of how he pled for my forgiveness while he was hanging on that tree.
Oh, please forgive me. Your grace to make it through. All I have is you, at your mercy.
Oh Lord, Lord, I serve for you
till my dying days. Help others find the way at your mercy. Please forgive me.
The God of earth and glory.
Oh, yes, Lord.
He would take the time to care for one
and care for
me.
Someone.
Oh, but I've read and I believe that Bible story.
Oh, it's a good story.
Of how he pled for my forgiveness while he was hanging on that tree.
I need your grace to make it through. All I have is you, that's your mercy. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's look at our prayer request. I'll just get you to stand with me. We don't have that many this morning. This is a card from Brother Roger and Sister Sue Miller. Thank you for the calls, visits, food during the passing of my father, most of all for your prayers. Please continue to pray for us. We love you, so we just want to hold that family in our hearts, that the Lord would just be with them during this time. This is an announcement from the library. They have a few CDs of Sister Lindsay Gilreth in the library. If you'd like to pick one of those up, they have some limited amount. So if you could, go by and pick one of them up. I believe it'd be a blessing to you. Sister Sherry Wiggins says she has a very important job interview this coming Friday morning. I would appreciate your prayers. And most of all, I want the perfect will of the Lord. So we just commit that unto the Lord. Remember Bill Cochran. He is very sick with a lot of medical problems. We just commit that unto the Lord. Brother Jerry, Sister Deanna, I want to thank you for your prayers concerning the passing of Brother Jerry's stepson. Please continue to remember the family. They're taking this very hard, so let's pray for them also. Brother Jerry, Sister Deanna are on their way home from Alabama today in a lot of bad weather. They're asking for traveling mercy, so remember that. This is another announcement. Several people have asked about the SD card from the Voice of God that has all the messages that can be downloaded into a smartphone. We have them on order, and they should be in this coming week. So maybe next weekend you can check with the library, and maybe they'll have those for you. Irene Pierce says to please pray for my nephew Ryan, who lost his wife this past week in a car accident. His family is concerned that he may try to take his life, so they're asking that we would remember that request. This is a testimony of the little girl that was in an intensive care unit in the hospital. I just want to give honor, praise, and glory to Jesus for answering her prayer. Me and my daughter were in the Lifeway bookstore, and I overheard a gentleman on the phone say that she had stopped breathing. It was a three-year-old little girl, so I told him we would be praying for her. I went over to my daughter and told her, and we prayed right there. So when we were checking out, he came and told us that she had started breathing again. We told him to give all the glory to God, and he said thank you. So we praise the Lord for that this morning, don't we? Amen. Another testimony, Sister Linda Jablonski says, I want to give all the praise, glory, and honor to my precious Lord. Last Sunday, God gave me such a wonderful touch and a miracle in my life. I truly can say that I have that great pearl, and I will cherish it forever. Thank you, Lord. So we praise the Lord for that testimony. All the unspoken prayer requests, if you have a need this morning, Brother Brad Yontz, come. Lead us to the Lord. Let's commit all these things unto God. Ask Him to have His divine will. God bless you, buddy. Appreciate you.
Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for an opportunity we have to come in your house again, Lord. Father, we want you to feel welcome. We don't want to just leave you in a corner, Lord, but we want you to feel free to move among these aisles, God, and minister to each heart. Father, we know at this time of gift giving, Lord, that you just gave the greatest gift of all, that you wrapped yourself up in the human flesh, Father, to become us, Father, that you know what we go through and what sickness and diseases that we have. You took stripes upon your back for the healing of each one of these requests, Lord, and we thank you for doing it. Lord, we pray that you anoint the service today, anoint Brother Louie, Lord, in a special singing, most of all, anoint Brother Donnie. Father, may the Holy Ghost just speak through and hear through us, Lord, and we just give you the praise and honor in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Brad. God bless you. Ushers, if you'll come at this time, we'll receive the morning tithe and offering. If you're visiting with us in this service today, we want to welcome you. Glad to have you here. All those that are streaming the service, may God bless those folks as well. We're going to sing a song this morning, have more songs, specials than I'll be able to get to this morning, but I'll just do them as the order that I got them, and we'll work the rest of them in at a later time as we can. Brother John Cockman, he has a song for us. Here just in a few minutes, if you want to come on and be getting ready. Brother Harry has a song for us, and I've got others that have songs. I apologize, but we just got a lot to get done here this morning, and time is slipping away from us. But let's sing It's a City Called Homeland. Are you looking forward to going to your homeland?
Yes.
We got 17 that's looking forward to it. Are you looking forward to going to your homeland? It's a city called homeland. I can hear you calling me, oh, my homeland. Oh, how sweet it's gonna be just to see you and to stand upon your shore and know I'll live there forevermore. Oh, it's a city called homeland. I can hear you. I could not hide how it hurt to see them go. And now I know they just left this world, moved to a better place. Someday soon you're gonna call me too. I'll see them face to face. In that city called home, I can't hear you calling me. God bless you. Now, I have a couple of Christmas cards this morning. from you to your our pastor and his wife. You can be seated. And we're going to put these on Brother Donnie's desk. But this is a token from you to your pastor and Sister Reagan. And I'll tell you what, I wouldn't trade them for nothing in this world. You appreciate your pastor. God bless you this morning. You want to stand here? God bless you, buddy. Good to see you.
God bless you. I'd like to thank whoever requested that I sing this morning. I appreciate that. I'm going to sing one that I wrote a few years back. It's called Maker of the Stars. And it talks about what love it was for the one who spread the heavens to come down and to give his life right here on this small earth that we're on. One star shines the brightest on this very special night, and Joseph lifts the baby up to see its brilliant light. And like a million candles, each a glory of its own, the stars sing out together like the morning they were born. Their ancient fires burning in remembrance of the joy as he cast them, brightly shining to the darkness of the void. Mary smiles and wonders just how high they really are, as she holds the tiny baby to her heart. Unthinkable love, he's the maker of the stars. Maker of the stars, set your fire in me and let it burn, burn, burn so bright this Christmas time. Then let it shine that all might see in this dark world. It can't be very hard for the maker of the stars. From a baby in a manger to a man upon the cross, when he cried, "It is finished," all creation felt the loss. And as the soldier pierced him, the earth recoiled in pain, and the sun refused to shine upon the kindler of its flame. Oh, Daystar, are you weeping? You've watched over him so long, and now you're powerless to save him from dying all alone. There's nothing you can do but to turn and face the dark as the earth shakes with the last beat of his heart. Unthinkable love, he's the maker of the stars. Maker of the stars, set your fire in me and let it burn, burn, burn so bright this Christmas time. Then let it shine that all might see in this dark world. It can't be very hard for the maker of the stars, of the stars.
Well, welcome to Christmas in Sodom. But but there's still a light shining. And I'm glad I was listening to Brother Brandon this week and on Super, it's the Super Sign in 59, and he said, the first time that little mouth opened and that baby cried, God cried. And he said, he knows how we feel when we cry. So I'm glad we have a king who is willing to come down and be a wood chopper with the wood choppers, be a converter buyer with the converter buyers, and a house painter with the house painters, and still be Emmanuel. He's still with us. Pray for me because my voice is about gone. Mary, did you know your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you delivered would soon deliver you. Mary, did you know your baby boy, he could give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know your baby boy would calm a storm with his hand? Did you know your baby boy has walked where angels trod? And when you've kissed your little baby, you've kissed the face of God. Mary, did you know? The blind will see, the deaf will hear, the dead will live again. Lord of all creation. Mary, did you know your baby boy would one day rule the nations? Did you know your baby boy was heaven's perfect lamb? And the sleeping child you're holding is the great I Am. Oh, Mary.
Praise the Lord. Sing, O come, let us adore him. Amen. Could you stand again this morning as our pastor gets ready to come and bring us the word of the Lord? I know you're looking forward to the preaching this morning. Let's just sing that little chorus together. O come, let us adore him. I want to do that in my life, don't you? Amen. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us.
Is worthy. How we appreciate his advent to the earth. Amen. Let's turn to Revelation chapter 3 today, if you would. I'd like to speak to you again today on the person in the mirror. Revelation chapter 3, verse 15. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. And knowest thou not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked? Apparently somebody is looking into the wrong mirror. Both mirrors are reflected in this verse here, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. Now that's God's mirror. Here they are. They're turning this down. Now I don't want this. No. Keep this away from me. I don't want that. So they're going to fabricate a church mirror. Thou sayest, I'm rich, I'm increased with goods. No, I don't want what God says. God says I can't do this. No. Get that away from me. Get that away from me. I don't want that. So this is what I want to say. I'm rich, I'm increased with goods. I have need of nothing. I'm the church. But this is what he sees. Knowest thou not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked? How can a blind person see very much anyway? I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. Now you realize, if you have a handheld mirror and you're looking right here at your face, you could be naked from here down and the mirror would never tell you. So I'm going to need a full-length mirror in this day. But you see, Laodicea refused the full-length door mirror. So all she wants is a compact cut. So she just looks at herself and her face. I want the full-length one myself. That the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve. Now here he gives them a remedy for every one of the complaints he brings against them. I'll change your mirror. I'll remake you. I'll reshape you. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Let's bow our heads together. Heavenly Father, we love you today. We are so grateful, Lord Jesus, that you chose to come to this earth for us. We thank you, Father, that the plan of redemption included us in that great, great mystery of God. I pray today that you would help us, Heavenly Father. We know one of the greatest things that we could be able to do today as the close of the service, as we would leave this place, is to be able to say that something of eternal value happened in our beings. For all that is of time will cease with time. So many of the things that we do, so many of the things that we enjoy, are only time related. And once time ceases to exist, they will go with it. But I pray that you would help us to set our value on things that are eternal. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. In 1604, King James I made a decree that there should be a new translation of the Bible. There had been the Geneva translation, the Wycliffe translation. Tyndale had worked on one. There had been many different translations of the Bible. Yet with many of them, there was such flaws in the translations because of the people who did it. So they left out many prevalent points that would have been life-changing to those who would have read it. 54 men initially are brought together. 47 of them actually go on to start the work on the translation of what we have today, the King James Version Bible. So they start this in 1604, some of them go to this college, some go to this one, some go to that one. They divide themselves up. Some take the Book of Chronicles, some take Kings, some take the Greek, the manuscripts, the New Testament. In the year 1611, the translation is finally done. Then the king passes the law to where that this is going to be the authorized Bible. This is why we call it today the authorized King James Version. So after the scholars, which were the best scholars of the time, the best linguists of the time, which were people of the English language, once this is finished and completed, then it is brought before a board, and they go through and they read it all, and it's brought before the king, and then it becomes authorized. Then the Bible, in weeks after that, and months after that, and years after that, it starts getting into the hands of the people, to where the people then, for the first time, there's not laws that's against them being able to have a Bible. I mean, the poor people, of course, still couldn't be able to afford it. But with that coming of the reading of the Scripture, there broke forth a move of God. And what's amazing is that now the mirror had been able to be returned back into the hands of the people. But what did not happen was, as soon as this 1611 version of the Bible was put back into the hands of the people, there was not a world-shaking revival. There was not a world move which brought the church back to an original apostolic foundation. Now, why would that not be? So we have the Bible. Now, they wound up having the same Bible that I have in my hand this morning. Mine's a Scofield. But the only thing that would be difference in mine and theirs was that I would have Scofield's notes and references in the center and on the bottom. So they had the King James Version Bible in their hands, and they had something there now which was the mirror. You agree this is the mirror of the Word. So now they had the mirror of the Word, and they're able to look into there and see how far the Catholic Church, the Church of England, all the different moves that have been, how far that they are from the Word. So why was not there an apostolic church that was born right there after the intervention of the mirror being placed back into the hands of the people? Because a mirror must have a counterpart in order to make it work and make it effective. Now, truly, it was a great time. Thank God. And here we are today, 402 years, something like that, after this version of the Bible is given. It's still changing our lives, is it not? It is still moving around the world, and for that we are grateful to God for that. But yet in that, there had to be more that would happen than just placing the Bible itself, which would be the mirror, and a person would be able to stand up in the mirror, and you'd say, well, shouldn't it go back then to Acts 2? Yet it would actually be hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years later before the original church would actually be back on the earth again. So the coming of the mirror did not produce that alone. So what was it that would be accompaniment to the mirror that would help bring the church to where it was back to its original seed form? That accompaniment was light. Let me read to you what I read last night, and then we'll read a little bit more. When light falls on a body, some of the light may be reflected, some absorbed, and some transmitted through the body. In order for a smooth surface to act as a mirror, it must reflect as much of light as possible and must transmit and absorb as little as possible. In order to reflect light rays without scattering or diffusing them, a mirror surface must be perfectly smooth, or its irregularities must be smaller than the wavelengths of the light being reflected. Now, that sounds like a very complicated thing. But yet, now let's look at the human spectrum through electromagnetic spectrum, which only you and I can see a tiny little bit in the dispersion of light. Now, God, in the beginning, when he said, let there be light, God made many, many spectrums of light that there is today. There's ultraviolet light, there's white light, there's purple, there's all these different colors, and it all blends together. But you and I may look at them with the natural eye, but there's much more about light which we are not allowed to see. Now, in this, we see the creation of God and how that God allowed certain elements of His creation to pick up ultraviolet light, but He limited man's eyesight to where man would not be able to see infrared, ultraviolet, or some of the other perspective lights in the megahertz or the ticklehertz in which God put them. They're called nanograms. Now, God limited our sight then where we would have a certain degree or a spectrum by which we would be able to look at that. Yet the honeybee would be able to allow to see a spectrum of light that the human eye and its greatness can never comprehend. So in that, we see that God would allow, in the natural form of creation, certain elements of that creation to see a degree of light, and other things would see more light, other things would see more light, and yet it all pleased Him. So if He did that in the animal life and even in botany life, then I believe with all of my heart we can be able to see in the Word that there are people on the earth that will be able to see only a certain spectrum of the light of what God has done. And there will be others that will be allowed to see a broader spectrum of the light of what God has done. And then there will be those who will be able to peer into a realm of God to see the spectrum of what God desired to do before the foundation of the world. Now, it was something that was hidden, of course, and it was a mystery. But if God opens your eyes to be able to see it, my, how grateful you ought to be. Now, let's look at this a little bit. It may seem a little bit difficult for a while, but just follow me. The human visible spectrum is the portion of the electromagnetic spectrum that is visible to or can be detected by the human eye. Electromagnetic radiation is the range of wavelengths. It's called visible light or simply light. Now notice how God does this. God just said, let there be light. Yet all of this in physics and all this in science lays underneath that spoken word. So when God said it, God didn't just throw it out there, but God made it by His creative word in certain wavelengths of that light. Each color will have a little bit different wavelengths. Now was it all the same? Then all human beings will be able to see the same as botany life and animal life. But God measured the color in certain wavelengths, and He gave them that color by which it would be identified. Then its color would also testify of the wavelength of that light. Everybody with me? Now you wish you'd have paid attention in science, don't you? Now listen to this. A typical human eye will respond to wavelengths from about 390 to 700 nms, which is nanometers. Now, this is the way that light is measured, nanometers. Now, watch this. In terms of frequency, this corresponds to a band in the vicinity of 430 to 790 THZ. Now, watch. A light-adapted eye generally has its maximum sensitivity at around 555 nanometers. So, now, this is a typical eye, like here we would be this morning, that we're exposed to this kind of light. So, your eye, on the average, is running around 555. Grace, grace, grace. So, this is what you're able to pretty much perceive. Yet, you have a lower end, and you also have an upper end, but your eyes are acclimated to this amount of light. Everybody follow me so far? So then what happens if we walk out of this kind of light and we walk into this room here, which is not lit as well? Actually, it's lit by two fluorescent bulbs that are there, and it will have a little bit different color of light. Actually, the spectrum will be somewhat different. You walk into my office and you'll see one light there, which has two colors of bulbs. Over my desk is another light, which has two other colors of bulbs, because I'm trying to decide which color I want to go with. So therefore, whether I use daylight or sunshine, whichever light that I choose, then it will reflect a different color on the wallpaper and try to pull the wallpaper and the new carpet that we got together. Now that's all through the power of light. Depending on which one that I choose, we'll be able to harmonize or create a contrast, whichever taste that I desire. Now in this, watch this, how that it's measured, how that whenever they look at it by our eye, the human eye is not capable of seeing radiation with wavelengths outside the visible spectrum. So in this, if you look on a chart and you'll see the chart of colors, and it may well say like this, it's about this long, but the human capability of seeing that spectrum is only about this. So there's so much this way and so much this way that the human eye cannot comprehend. Yet a little bumblebee which flies around, which does not know what you know, but he has the capability given to him by God to pick up certain light rays that the greatest scientist in the world can never see with his eye. Why? Because God gave him that ability. So in the creation of God, we can see that there's certain parts of the creation that is given the ability to look in and grasp a hold of more light than others can. Now, y'all want to argue with that? It's facts. It's absolutely proven. Now, what's this? In the human eye is not capable of seeing radiation with wavelengths outside the visible spectrum. So, in other words, it's all here this morning. It's right around us. Ultraviolet rays, infrared, all this sort of thing. It's right here around us, but you and I, without another realm that would be able to tell us that it's there, we would never know it. Many people have lived their lives on the earth and they had no idea of such a thing called wavelengths. They had no idea that there was spectrum and colors, and there was colors actually here that they never saw. All they thought was just what they saw, and they was baptized in titles. They walked in everything that they knew, and they thought that's where it all began and it ended. But aren't you glad it doesn't begin and end there? Now think of this, that many men back, of course, in the 1600s, Isaac Newton, of course, was able to break in and draw this little circle of light and able to figure out that there was a spectrum of light colors. And as it went on through the 1700s, the 1800s, the 1900s, on up to where we are now, they're finding more and more. Light is one of the greatest studies of science because they find so many things in light. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we shall have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. They're not the only ones who study on light. I'm a preacher and I study on it. Not wavelengths, but reveal word of the hour. Now watch, let's look at this parallel. Look at the visible colors from the shortest to the longest wavelengths. Now watch how these colors that you look at with your eye, these colors are identified by the way they are measured in a wavelength or a hertz by which they come. Now listen to this. The visible colors from shortest to longest wavelength are violet, blue, green, yellow, orange, red. Now these are colors that you pick up. That's only part of that color. It is actually measured by a wavelength. Ultraviolet radiation has a shorter wavelength than visible red light. The white light is a mixture of the colors of the visible spectrum. You mean to tell me as I'm sitting here looking out this morning and I'm seeing this white light, I am actually peering into a mixture of the entirety of the visible spectrum that my eyes can see? Now think what you would be today if you didn't have that. We all might as well wear white, because we couldn't tell the difference. Those of you that are dressed up in your Christmas red this morning, and my, you look like a little Santa Claus or something, you might as well wear green or yellow or black, because if our eyes did not have the ability to divide it. Now, what is that? It's here, but yet we look at it and see that given the ability in our light to divide the spectrum, we would all look at it as monochrome. So it would be as if though it was either black or white. But God gave our eye the ability to diversify, where the eye would be able to look to it, runs a signal back into the brain, and then you can come out and say, that is such a pretty green sweater. Oh, that is such a lovely cashmere this. My, that is so pretty, that pink. I love that. God knew we would enjoy the diversity of colors. Follow me now. Now what's the white light is a mixture of the colors of the visible spectrum. Black is a total absence of light. Now when the prophet looks down through to draw the church ages, he draws a little bitty spectrum, but when God draws it in the moon, he makes total darkness. So here then we are living and have been for several years in an age that is totally blacked out. So no matter what reds and oranges and yellows and violets and all that are around them or in those who've been illuminated by the present day truth, if you are in darkness, it would do you no good. As I said last night, you could have mirrors on the wall of this church, you could have mirrors on the ceiling, mirrors on the floor, but without the presence of light, you still will not see yourself. I want you to listen to this carefully now about how it's spelled, and I read this morning. Earth's most important energy source is the sun. Sunlight consists of the entire electromagnetic spectrum. So sunlight has it all, but you don't see it. Most of you, when the sun has been shining ever since you was a little bitty boy or a little bitty girl, you have seen that sunlight, you have felt its rays upon your face, but you have never seen the full spectrum of the electromagnetic rays that comes from that sun. Is that right? You've never seen the radiation. You've never seen all of that. You look and you see by our limited ability. But what if God would open up your ability and allow you to look beyond the human spectrum and see more? And somebody else said, I don't see it. I think you're crazy. But yet if you can see it and you know that it's there, are you going to let them talk you out of what you see? Or are you going to say, I'm sorry you can't see it. It's so beautiful. It's so wonderful. My, it changed my life. Watch this now. Many spirit species can see light with frequencies outside the visible spectrum, which is defined in terms of human vision. Bees and many other insects can detect ultraviolet light. Bees, notice now bees, a little old bee don't have a college education, he don't go to school, and yet God gave him by creation in his eyes the ability to look and pick up ultraviolet light that we cannot do without some type of mechanical eye to see it. Now watch this, and many other insects can detect ultraviolet light, which helps them find nectar. I wonder how much stuff in creation is color-coded. Of course, you and I don't live on nectar, so we don't worry about it. Most of you have one color in mind, green, color of money. Now, this little bee is so designed by the Creator, which his eyes will be able to peer into and look at a flower when you're looking at the pretty pink and the purple and the yellow and the reds and the golds. But his eyes has got him honed right on that nectar. And that nectar is so putting out a wavelength in the realm of color that he's not really just looking. Oh, he said, this is such a pretty flower. I'm going to stay here all day. Oh, this is a beautiful flower. There's no nectar here, but this is such a pretty yellow. He's not looking at the same thing you're looking at. His eyes are made in a different way. You're looking, oh, I love this color. When spring comes around, you go to Lowe's and Home Depot, I want this color with this color and the yellows with the purples and the peaches and the pink. Wow, this it makes it. That's not what the little bee's looking at. But he's looking out through that with them ultraviolet rays. And he said, oh, my food. Hallelujah. People without the anointing of Malachi 4, they look through the message. Oh, there's a mistake. Oh, I don't believe that. That didn't happen. But what's the bride looking for? Food. Plant species that depend on insect pollination may owe reproductive success to their appearance in ultraviolet light rather than how colorful they appear to humans. Birds too can see the ultraviolet, 300 to 400 nanograms, and some have sex-dependent markings on their plumage that are visible only in ultraviolet range. Glory to God. I think with some of this same sex stuff going on, some of the humans might need to break into this ultraviolet range. Men want to marry men, and women want to marry women. Oh, I know this is not politically correct. When have I ever worried about that? I don't care whether it's politically correct or not. It's an abomination in the eyes of God. I don't need the president's permission to say it. I don't need Congress permission to say it. I've got the Creator's permission and commission to say it. I don't say it because Duck Dynasty says it neither. I've been saying it a lot longer than they've said it. Can you imagine that God would hide a collar, the plumage of a collar, in a bird and give the mate, hallelujah, the ability to look at another bird but look at it and couldn't even pick it up. A human would look at it. Another animal would look at it and never see it. But that mate, that mate, oh, hallelujah. Can't you see, Snow White, how the Prince of Peace found you and he saw in your plumage that color of deity? Many animals that can see into the ultraviolet range, however, cannot see red light or other reddish wavelengths. I'm glad I can see red. Not your red shirt either. I'm glad I can see the token. I'm glad I can see the wavelengths of the red. A lot of churches don't want the blood no more. They won't get rid of the songs. They've lost their ability to see the wavelength in the red. Notice this B's visible spectrum ends at about 590 nanograms, just before the orange wavelengths start. Birds, however, can see some red wavelengths, but not as many as humans. So then we see in this that God, in His creation, puts different wavelengths by which different parts of His creation can see certain things. So others can look right at it, and because their eyes are not adapted or gifted to look into it, they look right at it and never see it. Amen. You believe that? So the image to be seen in a mirror will be reflected or caught according to the kind of light and how much light is in the room. Now, I got up this morning a little bit before daylight. I felt okay. I felt normal. Until I walked into the bathroom. And I looked at myself in the mirror. And I had a rooster tail sticking up on the back of my head about that tall. And I had something over here on the side. Now I'm telling on me, and y'all can sit there and laugh at me. Boy, y'all just. But let me tell you something, honey. I say if I'd have seen you, you'd look as scary as I was this morning. Only difference is I've got this microphone strapped on me, and some of y'all got too much pride to tell it about you. You want us to think you fell out of the bed looking like you did this morning? Well, on second chance, maybe some of you did. But I guarantee you, most of you did not. You washed that ugly face of yours. You put some cream on it, some lotion on it. You brushed them teeth. You combed your hair. Come on, church. Why? Because you was coming to the house of God, and you wanted to work on that old carcass and present it as presentable as possible. And I thank you for doing so. So when the light will hit the mirror, the irregularities in the mirror must be smaller than the wavelengths of the light, or it will take away from the image being shown. Now watch this. Mirrors can have plain or curved surfaces. A curved mirror is concave or convex, depending on whether the reflecting surface faces toward the center of the curvature or away from it. Now you imagine the Laodicean church. In verse 17 again, because thou sayest, I am rich. They are looking at themselves in very faint light through a church mirror. Many people today in this city, in Kingsport and Johnson City, they held up a church mirror to get ready to go to their church. And their church says it's okay for a woman to wear lipstick. So they held up their church mirror and they put it on their lips. Their church don't preach against men standing outside in the front smoking before church. So many of them held up their mirror and said, this is what my church believes. So they got ready according to the mirror of their church. And that's the way they're making preparation for the rapture. Now the Lord to see in church was just the majority of hosts, and all of us were there at one time. Thank God we're not there anymore by His grace. But yet they were in their own view, looking at what they saw. Now they had heard the word of God about all these different things. But they said, oh, that's old fashioned. We don't need that sort of thing no more. That ain't nothing but Brother Branham's idea. Brother Branham was not the one to come up with this idea of holiness. But they looked at themselves and said, I am rich and increased with goods and have neither another. I'll tell you one thing, I'm in good shape. I don't need one thing from God. And knowest thou not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked? But what is it that would convince them that they're not that? God says one thing and they say something else, just as sincere as they can be and totally convinced. It's their church mirror. I read this last night. Let's read it again. Women, I want you to look in the mirror and look what God requires a woman to do. And see in God's mirror, not in your church mirror now, in God's mirror. And see if you could qualify in your life the spiritual bride of Jesus Christ. Now you realize this doesn't just stop with the denominational people, but many message folks have made themselves a message mirror as well. Some of them have made a mirror, they don't have to go to church no more, so they just sit home and play tapes. You don't find that in the Bible, nor do you find it in the message of the hour. But it is a message mirror which is very much accepted and adapted in different parts of the world. Are you going to tell them any different? Absolutely not. Are you going to convince them? For the most part, I don't even try no more. But those who really want to see truth, and they've been given the divine ability beyond that spectrum, this is where they've locked it in. Why would you want to listen to any preacher that makes mistakes? Why would you want to go to church? Why would you? Well, you realize they're looking in a very limited spectrum. I'm going to go right on and look for the pollen, and I'm going to look for the honey, and I'm going to look for that plumage and my mate where I can be identified with Christ the Word. Let them squabble and fuss and argue. Y'all do whatever you want to do. I'm going home with Jesus the same. You folks don't want to come to church? Up to you. You don't want to live right? Up to you. But you're not hindering me. I'm going on. I'm going on. I did not start in this way to stop and turn back. I'm going on by the grace of God. I'm more determined now than I've ever been in my life because my spectrum is enlarging. So, what did you folks think this morning when you got up and looked in the mirror? And you evaluated yourself. Did you think, should I comb my hair or not? Should I go ahead and come to church and look like I parted with a firecracker? Should I come to church in my Bugs Bunny house shoes? Or my pajamas or my gown? Or should I wash my face and change my clothes? What made you decide that? Looking in a mirror. Right? So you made the determination. How many of y'all combed your hair this morning in front of a mirror? Dear Lord. We'll be lifting an offering at the end of the service to buy mirrors for those of you that don't have them. That explains a lot. And what did it do? You evaluated what you saw. And you felt like, you know what, I need to wash my hair. No, my hair don't look right. This poof is way too poofy. I need to flatten that poof out. I need to, you know, do this and that and the other. What determined that? Not your husband. He's afraid to tell you that. So you look in the mirror. You look in the mirror and then you make the evaluation. Uh-oh, I done hit a spot there. I seen that go over the church. Mama. So you make the evaluation and then you make adjustments accordingly. Is this right? And do not we appreciate them as sure, just like the Word of God, to be able to look in there. And yet the Word wants to point us to our faults and our failures, but we don't want to just stay on that part of the mirror. We want to make the change, and if you find things about yourself, you got a rooster tail sticking up on the back of your head, which I didn't figure would look very good this morning, because I figured most of you would be looking at my rooster tail and listen to what I had to say. So I figured the best thing to do is wash my hair and comb it down and try to spray this mop down and be able to get it where it at least look halfway decent, at least when I start. That way we'll be able to present ourselves, and if I do that to my body, how much more do I want to do that to my soul? If I look in there and I see a rooster tail or I see something out of line over here, I'm going to be able to spray it down. I'm going to be able to wash it. I'm going to be able to fix it. I'm going to be able to change it because I'm looking for my mate.
Amen. I'm looking for my mate, Christ the Word. Look at this. Luke 15:16. Second stage of the ministry of the mirror is restoration. Our story of the prodigal son. He would have vain filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat. No man gave unto him. And when he came to himself. You imagine as he finally holds up the mirror. And he sees how wrong he's been. And he sees the backdrop of a big fattening hog behind him. He smells the mud and the mire. And he hears the wallowing of the pigs. And this is the backdrop that he sees in the mirror as he's looking in. And he came to himself and said, what am I doing in this deep end? So it wasn't enough to find out I'm backslid. I'm not where I need to be. He had to come to himself and then make an evaluation. Praise be to God. He came to himself and he said, now watch, he's evaluating what he's seeing. How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. Look at his evaluation. I will arise and go to hell. Go to the devil. I'm lost forever. I will go to my father. The proper evaluation, after you have examined your situation and see that you're wrong, don't stay out of church. Don't backslide. Don't get away from God. Go back to Father. I will arise and go to my Father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. Remember also in Luke 19:8, Zacchaeus, when Jesus comes to him, and Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, half of my goods will I give to the poor. If I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I will take more, because now I'm in the message and I can do it. I restore him fourfold. What's he seeing? He's seeing in the mirror. And what's he want to do? Restore. Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house. It's a good way to know a man's saved, depending on how he deals with money. Uh-oh. Don't you throw that mirror back in my face. Look at it. Mama, for as much also as he is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was. Not that which is, but that which was lost. This man was redeemable. He was an attribute of God, and he was lost in the beginning, in the original fall. No doubt his name must have been on the book of life that Adam held. So the water of the washing of the word, we know the blood is what cleanses us as far as forgives our sins, but the washing of the water of the word help washes away the remnant that tags onto our flesh. And the word will come and help, oh my, bring us to that cleansing. So the blood of Jesus, we thank God for that, and we confess our sin, Lord, I'm sorry, forgive me. And standing under a ministry that has the capability of washing you from the things that are around you, it looses you from your guilt. Oh, children, when you made something right, don't feel like a Catholic that you had to bear that guilt for 25 years. Let go of that thing. Now let's look in James 1:23. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth, here's the problem, his way. Now he looked, but he did not persevere and glance long enough. So he looks, I'm okay. I'm in the message. I believe Brother Bram with all my heart. I love Brother Joseph. I love Brother Donnell. Oh, praise God, I'm ready. So he just looks in the mirror. Yes, sir, I'm fine. Praise God. And he forgets what manner of man that it really is. Forgetteth, or beholdeth rather himself, and goeth his way. He takes a slight glance, looks into the mirror. Praise God. Amen. I've done my religion for the week. I'll be back next Sunday now. Thank God. He beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway, which means immediately, forthwith. So he straightway forgets what manner of man that he was. Wow. So a hearer only of the word looks into the word. Praise the Lord. Amen. That's right. Thank God. I'm going. Let's go eat lunch. We resume our regular lifestyle, do our regular things. But you understand, Satan is trying his best to make that transition in this message. He's made it for many years, to where they're hearers only. They hear the tapes. They hear a preacher. They hear, they hear, they hear. And this is where they confide. And because they hear the voice of God, they're saved. They think. But that's contrary to Scripture. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. He's not concerned, this type of person, about practicing what he hears and obeying what he hears. But he focuses on hearing. I hear it. Oh, I hear it every day. Every day I keep it going in my car. Every day. So he focuses on hearing, not doing. Now let's run a parallel of this, if you will. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. These are the words of the Lord Jesus, so I know we won't debate them. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man. Now watch, Jesus says in verse 21, the same concept. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth. So then a person could hear and not do. They can say and not do. Mama, maybe I should stop and we'll sing, Hark the herald angels sing, glory to. The faith which manifests itself in obedience is the only faith that can bring salvation. Now this is where millions are being deceived. Because they do have a faith of profession. But it is not a faith that pulls them to obedience. And this is the only faith that God acknowledges and recognizes as true faith. So a profession faith will lead you to a life of hypocrisy. But Jesus says, if a man will hear my words, and then he will do them. Now what's the principle that Jesus uses? He speaks of two houses, of two builders, two foundations, and two ends. Now Jesus many times would use these stories in the parabolical form and also hyperparabolical, by which he would convey something instead of coming right out, he would say it this way. So he says that a man that will hear my words and he'll believe what I've said and then he'll turn and act on what I said, I will liken this man to a wise virgin. I mean a wise man. You realize, friends, that life itself is a building. Every one of us are building something. What you think about, what you do, your motives in life, your agenda, whatever it is you're wanting to do. And either what you are building will become your salvation and a place that you can confide, or it will collapse all around you. Now watch Jesus give us this illustration. In verse 25. The rain descended and the floods came and winds blew. And beat upon thy house. Oh my Lord. So this is what we have to look forward to as a Christian. The rains. The floods. The winds. Don't be alarmed when this happens to you. Now this would have meant a whole lot more to these first century people than it would to us, especially the location where they lived in the land of Palestine. For those of you that have been in Palestine or even seen pictures of it, a whole lot different country than what we have here in East Tennessee or most of the United States. In that it does not have grass and plants and trees and all that everywhere all over it, but it will be acres and acres and acres of barren hills. It will be rocks and sand, and there will be trees here, and there will be plants sparsely here and there and there. So whenever the rains will come, and heavy rains, there is no grass to hold the rains back. There's no trees. You've got a lot of rolling hills. So they were very used to this type of scenario, to where that the Jordan would be very, very calm. And then whenever the rains would come, it would be flooded out of its banks. Even today, those of you that have lived in Tucson, you know how it is in Phoenix. And you go down through those washes, people get washed away because they'll come down through there. They don't realize there's a torrent of water coming. And they'll go down through that low place. It'll hit them when they're there and carry them away. Because the desert is a similar thing. It does not have all the greenery and all the things to hold the water. So Jesus likens his parable. He said, this is the way life is. Everything about you is not lush and green and beautiful, but life has barren hills. Life has a lot of sand. It has a lot of desert. It has a lot of rocks. Can anybody say amen to that? It has a lot of rain, and it'll come, and it'll come, and it'll come, and it'll wash, and it'll wash, and there's nothing to hold it back. You mean being a Christian don't hold it back? It does not. So it'll rain and rain, and the more it rains, the bigger it gets, and then the floods will come, and then the winds will bash. And there's only one difference between these two houses. Amen. It's not the material used. It's not the type of rain or the amount of wind. There's one variation. The foundation. Amen. Now watch. Jesus said the rain descended and the floods came. Now these are metaphors, of course, that he's using. Rains and floods and streams and winds. And the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not. One simple reason. For it was founded upon a rock. Amen. Well, you say, praise God for that rock, Christ. Oh, no. No, this is not the principle he's revealing to us at all. That rock is your doing. It's your obedience. The other man is going to build a beautiful house. It'll look exactly. It'll impersonate that real one to the T. But the difference is his foundation. Now, does it mean that this good man's house did not suffer some damage? Jesus never said that. Any of y'all ever lost a few shingles and trials come along? You ever get a window blowed out, a rock come through, or something happened to you? You know, boy, the doctor say you got cancer, you got this, that, and other. My goodness, it's like a rock just blew through your front door, and my, the shingles blowed off. But you know what? Jesus never said you wouldn't have a hard time, but he said you won't fall. Amen. That's what it's all about. Brother, sister, we're going to have times the storms are going to batter against us. The rains are going to come so far, and you may say, my, I've got a little leak there, and I've got a little problem over here, and the wind's whistling over there. But the main thing is, when the wind's all gone and the water has receded, your house is still standing. Amen. That's what kind of child of God I want to be. I might not be the smartest. I'm not the prettiest. I'm not the greatest preacher, but when the storms pass by and the floods are gone and the winds have calmed down, I want my house to be standing upon the rock. The rains beat against him. The floods washed him. The winds tormented him. And he suffered loss. But his house was still standing. Oh, thank you, Lord. The rains descended from above. The floods came from beneath. The winds came sweeping across. The trials come from every way. There's times it'll seem like God's against you. There's times it'll be that the devil's against you. There's times it'll be the people's against you. And at all the time, you'll be against yourself. But the security of the building is determined. Determined by the validity or the strength of the foundation. Do you understand why folks are leaving this message? It comes down to one simple thing. Their foundation. Many of them only exchanged Baptist doctrine and picked up a message book, or they were born in the message, they were raised in the message. Many of their pastors, many of their parents never led them to a real experience. Come on now. And now they're questioning, oh, I don't understand this, I don't understand that. And it's easy to tell which part of their self that they are using. They're using this instead of this. They can't figure it out. This, how does this work with that? And how does that date over here work with this, that, and other? This always wants to figure it all out. And this has got to see it out plain. This right here looks and said, I don't understand how it all works, but I believe it. I believe it anyhow. Because this right here and this will contrast. And it's easy to see what people are being led by. I want to see the facts of this. And I want to see the proof. I want to see the witnesses. I will not take no human witnesses. Then you eradicate your Bible. How can we prove Jesus was transfigured on the mount unless we go by human witnesses who were there? How can we prove scientifically that there was a resurrection if we do not have human witnesses that were there? Mama, not only will your shingles be tested, and your exterior, and your windows, and your doors, but your very foundation. And your foundation, it's not your dress, it's not I believe, I believe, I believe, I believe. In this parable, it's your obedience. Can't you see why Satan is minimizing obedience? It's more about, well, I believe, and I believe, and I believe, and I believe, and I believe. It's an easy believism. That it doesn't require no life, no manifestation. Amen. He knows many will be washed away in the floods of test because their foundation. I believe, I believe, I believe. What's this in verse 26? And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house. Oh, you mean so he's got a church too? Now he's actually working. He's actually doing things, but it's not the right things apparently. Now, if you notice, it's not that Jesus projects this man as one that just go that, well, I ain't going to worry about it. I'm going to sit over here underneath the shade tree and drink me a big glass of iced tea, man, a lot. It's too hot to get out there and work. That guy gets out there and works, and he builds, and he labors, and he goes all that. But look, his very beginning, the material that he placed up there would have been an exact impersonation of this true Son of God. Do you understand? The sunshine never proved the foundation. The pleasant weather never proved the foundation. What proved the foundation? Storms, tests, rains, floods, winds. Lord Jesus, help us. So they hear. They are hearing. Everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not. They don't yield to the obedience of faith. To accept God's provision. Well, I just do this and do that. I don't understand why I got to do all that. But this is what the word says. I'm going to do it, and I'm going to do it with a joyful heart. Amen. Shall be likened to a foolish man which built his house upon sand. Or as Luke says, without a foundation. And notice Jesus says, likened to a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. Now he hears it. He goes into the labor. My, he goes down to the building store and the lumber. He gathers all the material. He may have, boy, I really like that house plan of that guy over there. Oh, I like that plan. Let's go with that. We'll call it Malachi 4 plan. Boy, I really like what I see among them. Oh, yeah. I'm tired of this old Baptist thing. I'm tired of this old Church of God thing. I'm going to build me a new house. Where'd you get that floor plan? It's right here in Malachi 4. It's Malachi 4 plan. Oh, praise God. Where'd you get that at? It's what I got come right out of the pages of the Bible. What else is there? Well, Luke 17:30, Revelation 10:1-7, Malachi 4, Amos 3:7. You know, all them. Okay. Praise the Lord. Thank you for giving me the line. Oh, I'm so glad to be out of that Baptist church. But you see, God never laid the foundation stone in them before the foundation of the world. So they go over and they clear out. Now you understand that some sand, don't get in your mind that we're talking about building this at Myrtle Beach. and walking right in on that white powdery sand, or down in Florida where the water is so beautiful and blue. And you mean, talking about this guy's going to stand out there and just lay this foundation stuff on the top of this loose sand? All sand is not loose that way. Some sand has a solidity to it. Until, of course, the water hits it. So this person lays it out and squares it up, and these builders will tell you how to build it. I don't know anything about it, how to go about it that way. But I can see here that Jesus is showing that a man that will hear, praise God, amen, I believe every word, glory to God, amen, that's about the truth. But he never lets that word manifest out of his life. Now, he doesn't stop, but he goes right on building, and he builds. But this is his foundation of coming to the message. He may go for 10 years, 15, 20, 30, 40. Because the region he lives in, they're not prone to floods. But all of a sudden, he gets on a website and double clicks. And then there's things there that he can't answer. Oh my. Oh. Oh my goodness. And if you listen to a lot of them, hear what they're saying, I'll always had these questions. Right. That's the difference. Their spectrum of light was limited to what they can prove. And until somebody supposedly disproved it, they was okay. Can you imagine the disciples when Jesus said, "Except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you." And them looking around and mother say, "Lord, who are we going to tell this to? I hope I don't have to preach this next Sunday. Except you eat my flesh and drink my blood." The other said, "Hey, this man's a cannibal. Why, he's a vampire." If Jesus would have turned and said, "Peter, take the second part of this sermon." Glory to God. We want to thank the Lord today for his precious word. I think we'll just dismiss him. We'll all go to Hardee's. Peter didn't get more understanding than the rest of them did. But Peter wasn't looking at his head. He was looking at his heart. God had laid in Peter the foundation stone of obedience. It was years later when Paul took that and explained it before they ever knew what Jesus was even saying. I want you to think, friends, the salvation of your soul. It's a weighty house. Your soul being saved or lost is a big building. So what are you building it on? Every one of you, not just a preacher is building a house. Every one of you are building a house. This is your life. Young people, what are you building? This is your life. Are you building a house that you can run into in the time of trouble? You may lose a shingle. You may lose a window. But you're not going to lose the house. Or are you building a work? You're spending all your time on frivolous foolishness. And you're going to run into that one day. And you're going to find the rapture will not pull it up. And the tribulation can't hold you back. Oh God, may our house be built solid. Notice these builders. They both heard Christ's sayings. They both saw the necessity of a refuge. They both had similar building material. They both built a house. They both were doing, but one was doing unto obedience, and the other must have been just doing because the other was doing. Both saw the need to have a place, a refuge in the time of storm. They were so close that it would deceive the very elect if it were possible. But they differed in their character, in their practice. They differed in their views of the right foundation. And they differed in their end. Notice this, Jesus in verse 27 says, "The rain descended, The floods came. The winds blew. Beat upon that house. Notice, word for word for word, the same thing that happened to this other man. Except when it comes to this part. And it fell. Now here is this man in the greatest storm of his life. The winds are battering it. The floods are coming up from the ground. Storms like he's never seen before. And all of a sudden his house starts creaking, making the noises, because the water has made its way under the house. Wasn't the floors? Nothing wrong with the walls. The two befores, they were fine. The shingles are good. The trusses were fine. But the water, the floods, had rippled its way underneath the foundation of this house. Now the sand, which seems so solid, now it's shaking, moving. The foundation's going first. And you imagine when it's moving and sliding down, and the torrent of the floods is carrying this house. And inside the house is this man, his wife, his children. God have mercy. Jesus said the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house. And it fell. And great was the fall of it. Upon what? What made the difference? Doing the word. Lord Jesus. James says, if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and forgetteth straightway what manner of man he was. So he looks and he peers and said, I'm okay. Next Sunday. You know how Brother Donnie is. He preaches him serious. My goodness. I'll get it next Sunday. I've got something I want to do this week that's wrong, and I need to do that, and then I'll repent next week. If I preach a series that's 3,000 nights long, it don't mean you'll be alive tomorrow. Now is the appointed time. The person in the mirror. Let's bow our heads together. The wise hearer looks into the mirror. He is not constrained to an unwilling obedience. God doesn't have to beat him to obey the word. And God doesn't have to torment him and threaten him with hell. Let me say this. I hope you'll understand it. For those of you that are his bride, his predestinated, you'd never have to hear another sermon preached on hell. Because hell don't need to be preached to scare you into doing right. You do right because you love him. Tribulation would never have to be preached to scare you to being a Christian. No. Because you've got the right stone in you. Think of it, children. To this man who looks into this law of liberty, he is so free from his old life. He has no regrets of giving up anything. His only regret is he couldn't have found it sooner. What are you today? What am I? One that will behold our images, our similitude in a mirror. We will turn and forget what manner of person that we are. Many of us retain this for days and days. Some of you walk out this door within an hour or so. You couldn't hardly recall nothing that I preached because it didn't really mean nothing to you. Because you have no plans on changing. You're perfectly happy being what you are. My advice to you then is to build your house. You better enjoy it while you can. Because the sun is hiding behind the clouds of tribulation. A great tempest is on the rise. A storm is moving across this nation like it's never been before. She will be bombed with nuclear bombs. But before that, she will be so struck with the wrath of God in earthquakes and judgment. 1/10 of the earth is fixing to fall in. A chunk 300 to 400 miles wide, 1,500 miles long, will fall 40 miles down into the Salton Sea. Millions will die at one time. O Rock of Ages, cleft for me. Let my life building, your life building. Oh, sure, you brothers have got to work. You got your vocation. You sisters have got hobbies and things that you enjoy doing. But don't make that your life building. Make your life building a daughter of God, a son of God. And let your foundation be obedience. Not just listening, 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 listening. But be a doer of the word. When you hear about forgiveness, forgive. When you hear about love, love. And if you can't do it, you pray until God helps you to do it. By His own life. Praise be to God. Anybody here today that ought to be remembered in prayer? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, when you come to this earth, we want to say to you, first of all, we are so grateful. We know it wasn't this time of the year that you were born, but we are grateful that you were born. We are grateful that you came. It wasn't your miracles that set us in the cycle of redemption. It was not your ability to turn the water into wine. It was not that you had the power to take a few fishes and some loaves and multiply them. But one of the greatest things that you displayed was obedience. You became obedient even to the death of the cross. Your miraculous power is great and wonderful, but that was not what led you to die on the cross. It was not a miracle that died. It was not a miracle that bled. It was a willing, obedient servant. Disobedience brought the fall. Obedience must return us to the place we were before we were fallen. Lord, we know as Christians, many of these folks have been sitting here, they're Christians 30, 40 years. And yet they know there's things in their life they still struggle against disobedience. Hearing this and hearing that and knowing this is the right thing for them to do in this certain situation. And yet they struggle to hold their peace. Or they struggle to turn the other cheek. Help them to see one of the greatest struggles of life. It's a very simple thing. Obedience or disobedience. Help us, Lord. May our house be built upon the rock of obedience. May we not just be hearers of Brother Branham's sermons, but may we be doers. May the saints at Happy Valley not just be hearers of the sermon that I preach and these other brothers, but may they be doers of the word, Lord God. In Jesus' name, praise be to God. Praise be to God. Can you raise your hands? Maybe the wind's blowing against your house today and the rain has fallen and the flood waters are rising and the tempest is all around you. But if you've got the right foundation, don't worry, friend. Your shingle can be replaced. The pane in the glass can be fixed. As long as your foundation is right, you'll be okay. You'll weather the storm. And when the sun comes out tomorrow and the blue skies are shining, and you look on the outside of your house, you look in your neighborhood as it was spiritually, you see this person that used to scream amen right by you. They don't even serve God no more. This person over here that, my, used to be such a blessing to you. They're nowhere to even be found. You say, what happened to them? Oh, and the floods came. It washed them away. Took their wife, their children. Now they're all out in the world. They're all out drinking, doing this, that, and the other. And the storm passed right by you. It battered you. It blowed you. But your house was built upon a rock. Because you wasn't just a hearer. You are a doer. Praise be to God. You was able to look in the mirror of the word and admit your faults. Admit your shortcomings and not blame your wife for them. Blame the pastor and blame everybody else. But just willing to evaluate yourself and say, what am I doing in this situation? Help me, Lord God. I must return back to my Father's house. Praise be to God. Let's stand together if you would. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Rock of ages, cleft for me, let me have myself in thee. Let the water and the blood, yes, Lord God, from that wounded, oh Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, be of sin. Yes, Lord Jesus. Save from wrath, Lord, and make me new. Oh, now. My hand, I pray. But what do we do?
Simply true. God wants, I believe.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord God. We was blind, wretched, naked. But we come to you to be clothed and find sinners.
Help us move to me for grace. How I do.
Thank God. Thy mountain.
Watch me say. Thank you.
my hand I bring. Oh, simply to thy cross I cling. Make it come to me for dread.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Yes, blessed God. We worship you, Lord. I love you, Lord Jesus, with all of my heart, Lord God.
The fountain.
Oh, we praise you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord God.
Wash me safe.
Thank you, Lord. Oh, God. I'll die, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. When the storms of life are raging, stand by me. Stand by me. Oh, children, do you believe your foundation's right today? Why'd you come to the message? Why do you believe this message? Because you was raised at Happy Valley? Then before this storm hits major, you better dig out that foundation and say, God, make this message a revelation to me. Not because my daddy was in this church, my grandpa was in this church, but God instilled it in me so deep that there ain't enough devils out of hell to take it away from me. Praise be to God. Do you know if you come this way, it is impossible for your house to ever collapse. Totally impossible. If a man has these virtues of the living God in him, he shall never fall. Brother, that's eternal security. It's as eternally secure as God himself is secure. Amen. Oh, we worship you, Lord. Let's sing it together, Hank. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. When the storms of life are raging,
stand by me.
Yes, Lord.
When the storms of life are raging, stand by me.
May my work stand. May my life's building stand, Lord.
Life are raging. Stand by me.
Stand by me.
Stand by me.
Oh God,
stand by me. Thou, Lord.
Psalms 3.
To the glory and the lifter of my head. Oh, Thou, Lord, art a shield for me. You're the glory, You are the lifter of my head. Oh, Thou, Lord, art a shield for me. You're the glory and the lifter. Trouble me. Many are the demon spirits that rise against me. Many there be which say, I'm my soul.
Yeah, Lord.
There is no help for you in God. I cried unto the Lord.
Your holy name, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, praise be to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord God. Lord God, Adonai. We praise your holy name, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. We worship you, Lord. Let's just worship Him just a few more minutes before we go. We'll let you go. Let's just worship Him a little. Hallelujah.
Oh, come, oh, you, come, Jesus. Emmanuel.
Yes, Lord.
And ransom captive Israel.
Yes, Lord God.
Oh, come, oh, come, Emmanuel. And ransom captive.
Hallelujah.
Right.
Oh, Jesus. Jesus.
Oh, come, oh, come, Emmanuel.
Yes, Lord God.
And ransom.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for doing that for us, Lord. Praise your holy name, Lord Jesus. Oh, thank God. Oh, come, let us adore. Oh, come, let us adore. Oh, like 2,000 years ago, we have seen His star in the west, and we have come to worship Him. We've not come to worship the star, angel, messenger.
Amen.
But we have come to worship Him whom the star pointed to. Who did that star in the west point to? The lily of the valley.
Amen.
The bright in the morning star, the first and the last. Aren't you glad? Remember, wise men and wise women still bring Him gifts.
Amen.
He don't want a Christmas package. He don't want it wrapped up in yellow and pink and blue and red ribbon. I'll tell you what He wants. He wants you.
Amen.
The greatest gift you can give Him today is you. Surrendering, give Him your all. And make the commitment, Lord, every day of my life, I'll inspect my life by your mirror. And when I find I'm wrong, I'll change. We'll get to it, Lord willing, maybe when I get back from New York. But James deals with this, and he says the man continues to look into the law of liberty. He don't look one time, but he looks constantly over and over and over and over again. Don't you appreciate His grace to us? Don't you understand, friends, what happened to us when we was in Pentecost? We had a little bit of spectrum of light. But Malachi 4, Luke 17, 30, Revelation 10, Amos 3, 7, it broadened our spectrum, and we was able to look around the same Bible that we read when we was in Pentecost. Amen! Think of it. Many of you have got the exact same version that you read 20 years ago. Why do you see different? The light reflected on the mirror. Praise God. God bless you. Love you with all my heart. Lord willing, we're heading up to New York. Be with Brother Robert Marrero Wednesday. So be in the weekend up there. So just remember us if you would. God bless you. Let's sing together. Oh, come, let us adore Him. Go in the fear of God. Oh, come, let us adore Him. Love you all my heart. Oh, come, let us adore.
For He alone is
Thank you.